God's people were called to remember the Sabbath. Call to mind, contemplate, recall in order that it might elicit the proper response of setting it aside as totally for the Lord. So let me encourage you, remember it. You say, well, I try. How do I remember it? How do you remember anything? If you're like me, you got to write it down. How about that? Write that down in your appointment book. Hang out. Chill out. Veg out all day long. Write it into your schedule.
Although it seems like we could all use a little more rest, even on our days off, we seem to find plenty to keep us busy. But in spite of our packed calendars and growing to-do lists, the Lord commands us to take a Sabbath. So what does the Bible mean by rest? And is a day of rest something we actually have to do as believers? Get answers today here in Connect with Skip Weekend Edition, as Skip Heitzig continues our series, God's Top Ten. These messages help us understand how the Ten Commandments apply to our daily living. We'll also have ordering information for this entire series after the teaching. But first, we have a powerful, prayerful resource for you this month at Connect with Skip.
Ready to radically upgrade your prayer life? Still stuck in bless me mode? You have come to the right place if you are ready for dangerous prayers.
We're going to really start praying three new prayers. And I want to warn you, these are not easy prayers. These are not safe prayers. These are not benign prayers. We're calling them dangerous prayers, but they're dangerous in a good way. In fact, if you ask my opinion, most people I know in this part of the world, most people's prayers are way too safe.
That's Craig Rochelle from his book, Dangerous Prayers. And this is our summer resource offer. Get it if you are ready to get out of your comfort zone.
What I want to do is I want to arm you with some prayers that are not safe to pray. In fact, just know going into them, when you pray these prayers, you're really asking God to do something that will often take you out of your comfort zone.
Unlock your prayer potential with Craig Rochelle's book, Dangerous Prayers. It's our gift to you when you give $35 or more today to help keep this ministry on the air. Request your copy when you give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer, or you can call 800-922-1888. Now, another clip from Craig's book, Dangerous Prayers.
We're going to talk about a very dangerous prayer where we ask God to break us. Break me, God. You want to pray a dangerous prayer, you ask God to break you. That's the last thing any of us want. But on the other side of brokenness is a real intimacy with God and a dependence on Him that you cannot get to any other way but through brokenness.
We all have enough encouraging books. Get one that will grab you by the throat and get your attention.
We're going to pray, send me. Instead of saying, God, I'll do what I want to do for you, we're going to say, God, I'm signing a blank contract, basically. Whatever, whenever, however, God, I'm available to you. Whatever you want to do, my life is yours. You send me.
Connectwithskip.com/offer, or you can call 800-922-1888.
Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. For this teaching, relax, and that's an order. Here's Skip Heitzig to begin.
You sow, you reap, you till, you take in. But the seventh year, you hang out all year long. And God says, I'll so bless your endeavors in the land that all you have to do is go out and take whatever grows by itself. It's done for two purposes. Number one, to keep people from depleting the minerals and the richness of the soil. Number two, to remind them that the land doesn't belong to them, but it belongs to God. Now, why am I giving you all this background? Because sometimes you'll meet someone who will take great pride that they are Sabbath keepers. I keep the Sabbath, in contrast to you who don't keep the Sabbath. And I always ask, do you really keep the Sabbath? Oh, yes, I'm very, very adamant. It's God's commandment. Okay, so that means you keep the Saturday Sabbath. That's right. And you keep those other days during the year. They go, what other days are those? And I'll remind them. And I said, it also means that once every 7 years, you take the year off, right? You just live by faith. You just trust God for that year and you don't do any work. Well, no, I don't do that. I said, well, that's part of the law too. That's part of God's pattern as well. Well, that was then. That didn't count. However, for God it counted. In fact, it counted very much that his people were to keep that sabbatic year as well as the day, because did you know that one of the reasons the children of Israel were expelled from their land and taken to Babylon for 70 years is because they didn't do that? That's right. They didn't take God seriously on the 70th or the 7th year. And for 490 years in the land, they disregarded this 7th year process. So the Lord booted them out of the land. And this is why. This is 2 Chronicles 36. To fulfill the word of the Lord until the land enjoyed its Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept the Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. If you don't keep it for 490 years, that's 70 sabbatic years. You owe me 70. Bye. He took it seriously. Well, look what God's people were told to do in verse 8. Here's the commandment. Remember the Sabbath. The Hebrew word zakar, remember. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean you just sit around and contemplate it? That mean you just let the thought come to your mind, oh, I remember today's Sabbath. There, I kept the commandment. I remembered it. It came into my mind. No, it must mean more than that. And it does. Joseph was in prison, and he told the cupbearer who was going to go back and work for Pharaoh, he was restored to his position, hey, when you get out of jail and you're working for Pharaoh, remember me. What did Joseph mean? Did he mean, while you're working for Pharaoh, have fond thoughts of me one day? You know, call me to mind, smile when you think about my name. No, get me out of here. Remember me. The idea of this very strong command, and by the way, it is put in the Hebrew form called the infinite absolute. It's a very strong, positive, emphatic commandment. And it means to call to mind, to contemplate, or to ponder in order to elicit the proper response. And what is the proper response? We're told in verse 8, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. That's what God wants us to do with the day. Keep it holy. Set this day aside as different from all other days in the week. Simply said, you might put it this way. God is saying, set a day apart for me, to do whatever I want, what I love, what I like. Question, how many of you are married today? Go ahead, don't be ashamed. Raise those hands up. And some do this, like. Okay, those that are married, how many of you have ever heard of or practiced what's called a date night? A date night. More hands should be up than that, but that's okay. And here's why it should be. A date night is a covenant that a husband and a wife make that say, as we grow and as life gets busy and we have kids and we have our careers, let's not neglect the bond that you and I have. Let's reconnect. Let's nurture each other. It's not about the kids tonight. That's a babysitter. It's not about other couples. It's about us. It's our date night. It's a night or a time set apart wholly just for us. When my son Nathan was growing up, we had a day. My wife invented the term. She called it an I Love Nathan Day. And every time he heard this term, he'd lit up. My wife would say to Nathan, hey, do you know what today is? He'd go, no, what? She said, it's an I Love Nathan Day. And his eyes would light up, and he got so excited because this is what it meant. On that day, Nathan could pick where we go to lunch, what activity we do, what store we go to look at stuff. It was all about what he wanted to do. The Sabbath day is the I Love God Day. God picks the activity. It's all about him. It's what he likes. It's what he loves. And he's to be honored. Back in 1924, Eric Little ran the Olympics in Paris. Now, you'll recall Eric Little if you saw the movie Chariots of Fire. And I told the story last night, and I didn't do his imitation, his voice, so some people felt slighted. But he was the guy in the movie who was called to be in the ministry, but he also had a gift of running. And he said to his sister during the movie, Jenny, I know God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. Okay, so anyway, that aside, that's the guy who said that. No. You don't have to clap at that. It's just a goofy little thing that I do, and people sort of expect it now. Anyway, his strongest run was the 100 meter. Here was the problem. In 1924, in Paris, during the Olympics, the heat was run on Sunday. Eric Little refused to run. He wouldn't do it. He backed out of the race. The day the heat was going on, he was preaching in a church. A few days later, he announced he would run the 400 meter. People who knew the race and knew him, what he had trained for, said, "You don't have a chance in heaven to win that race." Not only did he run the race, he won the gold medal and broke the world record. And he said, "I honored God, therefore God is honoring me with this race." Well, it's sort of strange, but as time went on, this commandment got weird. That's right. The commandment to rest actually became laborious, hard to keep. And here's why. When the children of Israel came back into the land after the captivity, they were so gun-shy, they didn't want to hurt God or break any of the commandments, they developed a list of 39 activities you could not do on the Sabbath, else you'd break it. You say, well, that's just a list of 39. Well, those 39 translated into 24 chapters written in the Babylonian Talmud that was a discussion of what you can and can't do on the Sabbath. For instance, the law says you can't bear a burden, lift something heavy on the Sabbath. So they had paragraph and page after page of what it meant to bear a burden on the Sabbath. Questions like, can you lift a lamp? You know, I got a problem, it's dark and I have a candle and I want to see what's in that room. Can I lift the lamp and walk into the room, or am I breaking the Sabbath by bearing a burden? Can a woman wear a brooch, a pin, a decoration on her dress? Because maybe she's bearing a burden by putting that on. Can a person wear artificial teeth on the Sabbath? I didn't make that up. That's in the Babylonian Talmud. I'm sure the false teeth weren't that great looking 4,000 years ago, but they talked about it. What about if my child cries and I need to pick up my son or daughter? Am I bearing a burden? All of this was deliberated on and talked about. So can you see? They lost the very idea of the Sabbath rest. After keeping the Sabbath, they needed a vacation. It was hard. No wonder Jesus finally said, look, the Sabbath was made for man. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. They had so twisted it over time, it became easier to work 6 days than to rest one. So God's people were called to remember the Sabbath. Call to mind, contemplate, recall, in order that it might elicit the proper response of setting it aside as totally for the Lord. So let me encourage you, remember it. You say, well, I try. How do I remember it? How do you remember anything? If you're like me, you got to write it down. How about that? Write that down in your appointment book. Hang out. Chill out. Veg out all day long. Write it into your schedule. Now, look at the very next verse. Remembrance is commanded, but there's also a responsibility that is implied and conveyed and even commanded by the next verse. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work. So verse 8, God allocates time for enjoyment. Verse 9, God allocates time for employment. Remember to rest, you need a vacation, but remember to work, you need a vocation. So that when you take the day of rest, it really is something that is different. In the Bible, work is commended. Hard work, even labor, is exalted, not put down. Sometimes people will say, well, you know, work is part of the curse. No, it's not. Work is not part of the curse. It's the laborious toil that comes from God cursing the earth. Remember, curse is the ground for your sake. In labor you shall eat of it. It's not the work that is a curse. God put man in the garden to tend it, to keep it, to work at it. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to build up, a time to tear down, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather, a time to sow. All of those activities are what? Work. Work. Then when we get to the New Testament, it seems that there were some people in certain Christian churches that felt that they were called to veg in the Spirit. That's right. God called them to cruise-o-matic all day long. And they were a blight to the church because they came in and they wanted support for it. So Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians, we gave you this rule, if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. So laziness is never condoned in the scripture. Hard work and diligence always is. In fact, you'll remember in Proverbs where Solomon says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. And there's a whole list of insects and animals that work hard in preparation. I heard about a lazy kid who said, I always do my exercises every morning. As soon as I wake up, I go at it. Up, down, up, down, up, down. I do that for 3 minutes straight. And then I tell myself, okay, now for the other eyelid. Up, down, up, down, up, down. Somebody once said, I love hard work. I can sit and watch it for hours. Well, God says, don't sit and watch it for hours. Do it for 6 days. And on the seventh, rest. So God directs his people to take a vacation one day a week, but to have a vocation for 6 days a week. How do you like your job? Don't answer out loud. I ask the question because there's a book out called Working. Now, I don't know how many people would look at this book and say, I got to read that. But it's called Working, and it's by a guy named Studs Terkel, who's written several books. In this book, the author interviews hundreds of people in America as to what they do and how they feel about what they do. And this is what he writes. He says, there is a common theme. Most people live somewhere between a grudging acceptance of their job and an active dislike of it. At best, most people tolerate it. At worst, a lot of people hate it. Which brings me to this question. How should a Christian work? What is the work ethic for the believer in the workplace? Should we be lazy? Should mediocrity, just getting the job done and getting out on time, be our motto? Well, it says in verse 9, you shall labor and do all your work. I know you might think, I do it. I get it done. How should you do it? Ephesians 6, verse 7 answers that. Work with enthusiasm, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. I remember reading this when I was going to work in the secular field years ago, and I'd come in on a Monday morning whistling. Just kind of chugging around the office. And I got the dirtiest looks from people. Like, how dare you get happy on Monday? Everybody was grumpy. And I thought, you know what? A happy, diligent worker doesn't have a whole lot of competition. And the Christian ought to be that kind of an employee. Workers in America admit to spending 20% of their time at work goofing off. Now, if I get that right, in an average work week of 5 days, that's an entire day. And that's what they admit to. There was an employee who died and went to heaven and complained to St. Peter. You know, all the dumb jokes have Peter at the gate with the clipboard. And so the guy died. He goes to heaven. He complains. He goes, you must have made a mistake. I shouldn't be here. I'm too young to die. I'm only 35. And Peter checked the records, came back. He said, now, according to the hourly work reports that you've been turning in, you're 97. 20% of the time, Americans admit to goofing off. As a believer, you and I had to have the very best work ethic so that those 6 days are the most productive possible. And here's the point then of this message today. Life consists of balance. Vocation, vacation. Hard work and rest. Responsibility and hanging out. Work is good. Commitment is good. Overwork is bad. Overcommitment is bad. And if you're the kind who brags about breaking this commandment, I haven't had a day off in so many years, I feel sorry for your family or anybody that tries to get close to you.
Taking a day to rest isn't just about not working. It's also about worship. And that's definitely a reminder to take to heart today, isn't it? And today's teaching is titled Relax, and That's in Order, Part 1. You can also receive the entire series, God's Top 10, as an audio CD package for only $39 plus shipping. It's available right now at connectwithskip.com, where you can also find out about this month's resource offer. Here's more.
No wonder the guys asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. We need direction, or we would still be saying, now I lay me down to sleep.
Instead of just praying, God, would you do this for me? A dangerous way to pray is, God, what can I do for you?
Terrific idea, don't you think? That's Craig Rochelle from his book, Dangerous Prayers. And this is our summer resource offer. Seriously, this book could bring a major milestone in your life.
Over your lifetime, I believe that if you're a follower of Jesus, there will be certain messages that when you hear them, you encounter God in such a way that it literally changes the trajectory of your life.
Unlock your prayer potential with Craig Rochelle's book, Dangerous Prayers. It's our gift to you when you give $35 or more today to help keep this ministry on the air. Request your copy when you give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer. Or you can call 800-922-1888. Now, another clip from Craig's book, Dangerous Prayers.
The prayer of availability as we pray a very, very dangerous prayer. Let me tell you, when you pray this prayer, God could direct you in a lot of different ways. He may lead you to go to a different city. He may reveal a calling in your life that you never, ever expected before. He may lead you to stay somewhere when you just knew you were supposed to go somewhere else.
Get Dangerous Prayers by Craig Rochelle at connectwithskip.com/offer. Or you can call 800-922-1888. Now, this challenge.
When you make yourself available to God, it's an incredibly dangerous prayer we're going to learn to pray today.
Being rooted in Scripture can help you cultivate healthier relationships in your life. That's why we're invested in sharing these Bible teachings with you every day through this broadcast. And through your generosity, more friends like you can connect to God's Word to create healthy, life-giving relationships. To give a gift right now, call 800-922-1888. Again, that's 800-922-1888. Or visit connectwithskip.com/donate. connectwithskip.com/donate. Thank you.
We know that we should take a day off to relax and to worship God. But which day of the week should that be? Find out next time here in Connect with Skip Weekend Edition, a presentation of Connection Communications.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wound. Make a connection.
Connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.